WNYC is supported by Audible.com, producer of more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at audible.com/lopate. WNYC is supported by Audible.com, provider of more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at audiblepodcast.com/Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good to be back from vacation, by the way. Hello, everybody, and thanks to Jamie Floyd for doing such a great job filling in for me last week. Now, de Blasio versus Uber. It's not just about traffic. It's about the Uberization of the American economy. Even Hillary Clinton is weighing in, and we will play a clip in a minute. But over the past several years, as Uber's popularity has grown dramatically, thousands of drivers and their cars have hit the road in the city. So Mayor de Blasio has proposed a one-year cap on the unfettered expansion of for-hire car services like Uber, at least until the city can conduct a traffic study. I think this is going to be a real traffic study, not like the one at George Washington Bridge, you know, to see how much e-hail services like Uber have affected Manhattan's famously sluggish traffic. But traffic is only one issue. City Council is expected to vote on the congestion proposal this moratorium, really, on new Uber cars. And here with me now with the response is pro-Uber council member Ben Kalos, a city council member representing parts of the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Hi, council member. Welcome to WNYC today.
Thank you, Brian, and thank you for having me on the show. Long-time listener, first-time guest.
Absolutely, and good to have you. And you were opposed to this bill that would put a cap on Uber's expansion for a year. How come?
I don't think the city should stand in the way of progress when it comes to technology. Banning a technology company's growth before a study or investigation sends the wrong message to startups. Instead, New York City should be attracting top tech talent and entrepreneurs as a safe place to do business and invest. And that's the only way we can be a city of the future.
So that's Uber's argument, is that it stands in the way of technology and innovation. But the mayor says you have to look at the big picture and all the ramifications, and that Uber's expansion, just from the traffic standpoint, is putting more than 2,000 new cars on the road each month, which could be contributing to seriously clogging traffic. I think they'd say they don't know every source of every car that comes into the city or why traffic is slowing down as it has in recent years, especially in Manhattan, but that if you have one source that you know is adding 24,000 cars a year, maybe it's time to put a one-year moratorium on that now that that expansion has been going at that rate for a while and take a close look.
I think the city council has an obligation to look before we leap and require a study for review and public comment and then take action with full knowledge and due care, but passing a ban on growth to fix a problem at the same time as we're seeking to study that problem doesn't make sense. And I think along the lines of making this all of a sudden a congestion argument instead of what it really is, which is about Uber, is something that both the New York Times and the Daily News have focused on. If the mayor wants to do something about congestion, he should start looking at Move New York, something that a lot of people have been doing and I've been also looking at, and along Daily News, capping the company because they have 20,000 cars when there's over 750,000 entering Manhattan south of 60th Street doesn't seem to achieve its goal. And I urge the listeners to please read both of those editorials because they are very much on point.
Listeners, do you think City Council should vote for a one-year moratorium on the addition of additional Uber and other kind of freelance car service for hire, because it's not the only company out there. There's Lyft. That's the one with the mustaches on the fronts of the cars. But Uber is the big, you know, is really the big driver, to choose a word, in this area right now. So do you think City Council should limit the growth, not take any Uber cars off the road, but say no additional cars for 1 year while they study the traffic implications. Listeners, what do you think? If you're on the Upper East Side, you have your pro-Uber councilman here, Ben Kalos. Anyone else from any other neighborhood, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And I think it's very important to say that this is about much more than traffic to the mayor. It's about the ability of conventional taxi drivers to make a living anymore. And it's about what some progressive economists call the Uberization of the American economy, that Uber is innovative in its way, but it's also a symptom of a larger thing that's been taking place for decades now, which is fewer full-time jobs and more sort of for-contract piecework or contract work or piecework, on the part of people who would have used to be employees with benefits and everything in the United States. So here is none other than presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton. This is from her economic policy speech last week, who is similarly wary of what she calls and what critics call in general the gig economy.
You know, advances in technology and expanding global trade have created whole new areas of commercial activity and opened new markets for our exports. But too often, they're also polarizing our economy, benefiting high-skilled workers but displacing or downgrading blue-collar jobs and other mid-level jobs that used to provide solid incomes for millions of Americans. Meanwhile, many Americans are making extra money, renting out a spare room, designing websites, selling products they design themselves at home, or even driving their own car. This on-demand or so-called gig economy is creating exciting opportunities and unleashing innovation. But it's also raising hard questions about workplace protections and what a good job will look like in the future.
Hillary Clinton last week. And I know when I was out, Jamie did a whole segment on Hillary Clinton's economy speech. And so here is one aspect of it that she chose as a presidential hopeful to include, Councilman. So how would you respond to critics of the gig economy who say it's replacing what used to be solid middle-class jobs with, lower-paying hourly ones that don't have benefits and Uber's place in that?
I think that in the mayor's editorial in the Daily News, he starts to delve into this.
Right.
But one of the issues here is that a moratorium against Uber isn't going to actually accomplish any of the goals that anyone is laying out. And in fact, we're likely to see all those bases, which are those neighborhood cab companies that we're all used to just calling, especially in northern Manhattan and other boroughs, those companies will be decimated as Uber looks for growth and hires away their drivers. And what will end up happening is we won't have those neighborhood drivers anymore because they'll be driving for Uber, leaving most neighborhoods stranded. Additionally, what we should be doing is looking for regulation so we can do things like protect consumers from excessive pricing by capping surge pricing. We can protect deliveries, bases, and their drivers by having specific legislation for that. And I've actually introduced legislation that would put our 17,000 yellow and green cabs up on a single e-hail app, and so that every single New Yorker could just hail a yellow or a green, and that would allow them to compete with Uber. I think we should be competing with that marketplace and adapting, not trying to ban or place a moratorium on them.
Let's take a phone call from a taxi driver, I presume a yellow cab driver, Abdul in Midtown. Abdul, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Thank you, Brian. I think we are having the wrong conversation here because Uber is not compliant with the hail taxi services. Like you did in your intro, you say Uber is doing e-hail taxi service. And they they don't have medallion like the yellow taxi services, so we can't compete with them. And if you see their pricing, they're doing a way much cheaper than yellow taxi because they don't have the same expenses. So I right. think the city has to make Uber comply with, if they want to get involved in hail taxi services, to meet all the requirements and the by TLC.
Well, this is Abdul. Let me ask you a follow up. First, mm-hmm. when you bring up, and people, a lot of people don't know what this means when you say e-hail and not in compliance with that. There's a court case right now that mm-hmm. charges that Uber is picking up illegal street hails because yes. you can't hail a livery car. You're not allowed to under the law yes. in New York. So the question is using your app to uh-huh. call a taxi more like using your phone, which would be yes. legal, or more like waving your arm standing off the curb, which is a hail? And, you know, I would yes, personally but argue that it's more like using your phone to call a taxi, that mm-hmm. using your app is like that. So that's probably not the way you're going to get them. But Abdul, if you're saying they're undercutting taxis by mm-hmm. having cheaper fares, let me push mm-hmm. back on you on this and ask, why isn't that just the way of the marketplace? Why should a price be set, in effect, by the government higher than what the market will bear for the consumer?
Yeah, the problem here is your expenses to be in business. If yellow taxi are required to buy a medallion, that factor in our pricing, and Uber is not required to buy a medallion, yes. and he's making the same service, so he's gonna be, you know, he will be able to offer a better pricing.
True.
That's basic. So what I want, I don't want Uber to go away. Let them buy. Each Uber car should have a medallion, have the same business expenses than us, and compete with us. But if they're not required to play by the same rule we play, we can't compete.
Abdul,
and that's the issue we should tackle.
I agree. That is one of the core issues that we should tackle here. And so, Councilman Kalos, does the rise of Uber, which really has shocked everybody, nobody saw this coming, and then all of a sudden here it is, oh, they came up with this app and people can, you know, and it didn't violate the law as far as anybody can tell for sure, to use your own car as long as you have it registered as a for hire car and you have your chauffeur's license, et cetera, et cetera. So does it expose the entire medallion system as being obsolete at best and corrupt at worst, where the city sets the number of cars, requires these medallions, which are basically licenses to own and operate a taxi, and the value of each one had gone up over $1 million because it was limited. It became a scarce commodity, you know, at the direction of the state, or of the city to be precise. And why isn't that obsolete or even corrupt?
I think that one of the issues that is missing is just trying to protect drivers, like the one who just called in. And when we're talking about the medallion and talking about Uber, we have to talk about competition. And so Uber is building a brand, and it has one brand in New York. And if you try to hail an Uber in San Francisco or different cities, based on those cities' regulations or lack thereof, you'll have a different experience. But what we do have is the yellow and green brand. You know you're going to have a car. You know that that car is going to be safe and reliable. You know that 50% of that fleet is going to eventually be ADA accessible, which means you'll be able to hail a yellow or green cab that you can access, especially as our population is aging. And so what we should be doing is trying to make sure that our medallion vehicles can compete, which is why I proposed legislation that would allow any New Yorker to hail any of them using any app. Just open it up, make sure we can actually compete. And there is a value to being able to raise your hand and street hail because not everyone has a smartphone. And while that number is still changing, everyone doesn't have it. And the ability to hail a yellow and green and know what your fare is going to be, regardless of whether it's raining or whether or not there's lots of traffic, has value.
Right. And so you defend the yellow cab industry and green cab industry to that degree. But you brought up accessibility. The mayor says Uber and other for-hire cars don't comply with wheelchair accessibility requirements, whereas by 2020, half of all yellow taxis will be wheelchair accessible. So is there an argument against Uber here, or is there a regulation that you, as generally an Uber supporter, might propose so that a percentage of their cars, or maybe all of their cars, need to be wheelchair accessible?
By making sure our medallion fleet is more accessible, that is something that the city is doing to honor the ADA, and it's far too long that we've waited to do so. But it makes them more competitive because more people will be able to use them, especially those who are aging and disabled. So first and foremost, I think it allows us to outcompete Uber and anyone else. That being said, I think that the market can help push Uber towards doing it. As they see that we are winning, that the city, that our medallions are winning, they will adapt. But yes, rather than put in a moratorium, this is a place where we should be focused on regulation and focused on saying that livery companies over a certain size should have to have ADA requirements. Right now, Uber is one of the largest fleets, and it's just a matter of looking at what ADA accessibility would look like in the FHV area of transportation.
Jeff in Park Slope, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Good morning, Councilman. I have no association with the taxi industry. I am looking at this as far as a market control issue. I don't understand what the big deal is to wait a year to allow studies to be made and having the city council get a good grip on this. The fact that a $40 billion company can have a guy who helped get a president elected come in here and kind of push their way through and say, hey, you know, we have to be able to do this no matter what, and kind of paint people who are against this as some sort of Luddites, you know, they're against technology. I think that it's okay to slow down. And then it turns out to be a benefit to the city and to the public, great. But I think we should – it's kind of hard to put the genie back in the bottle. Let him just grow unfettered for the next year, year and a half while we study this. And then what do you do? You know, in my building in Brooklyn, I only have one choice, Time Warner Cable. They dominate our neighborhood. I don't have any other choices. And I can foresee with $40 billion behind them, Uber taking over transportation or dominating transportation in markets and pushing small competitors out.
Councilman?
So – I think the key piece here is that government needs to start making better decisions. And the scientific method says that you study existing conditions, the control, before you start making changes and testing a hypothesis. This isn't a new problem. This is a problem that we've all seen. And that's why last year I introduced regulations, David Greenfield introduced regulations, as did the transportation chair, Donis Rodriguez, to protect us against surge pricing, to protect livery bases and drivers, to open up e-hails for everyone so that anyone will be able to hail a yellow or green. This isn't a new emergency. This is something we've seen coming, but we need to study what's happening, and that's why I'll actually be voting in favor of the study bill before we pass any moratorium. But for a lot of people, they are relying on being able to pick up a phone, not a smartphone, a regular phone, especially elderly, to get their local livery service to come pick them up and take them to a doctor's appointment or to run errands. And if we put on a moratorium, Uber's going to only have one place to go, and that's those livery companies, and they will hire away all those drivers and those seniors who are looking for that phone call to hail a vehicle won't have it anymore, and it will leave neighborhoods stranded. So regardless of what we do in terms of regulating the transportation industry, we have to do so first before we start trying to place a moratorium on anybody.
We're almost out of time. Is that vote going to take place this week?
I think we're going to be voting on it this week, and I think that folks who are listening should be reaching out to their council members as well as their borough presidents and the mayor to let them know where they are on things. We do listen, and believe it or not, we listen more to our constituents than any of those mailings that have been going out.
And Uber must have a lot of money, because I've been getting glossy, or I got glossy mailer, which I haven't seen in my mailbox since the hedge fund backed charter school movement was, you know, railing on Mayor de Blasio when those relevant pieces of legislation were up in Albany. So they had a lot of money. Uber must have a lot of money. I also got a robocall over the weekend from Uber. I live in Councilman Rodriguez's district, the head of the Transportation Committee, who's on the other side of you. And he, is obviously leading this drive to have the moratorium, and they were targeting him by name in his district. So I got a glossy mailer. I got robocalls because I live in Rodriguez's district. So they've got some money, this Uber. Are they supporting you?
I actually haven't received any contributions from them, and I actually reached out to them because I was against this moratorium. I've been fighting this fight for a while and doing so on my own.
Thank you very much. Ben Kalos, New York City Council member from the Upper East Side. Thanks. And the tweets keep coming in on this. Never had a bad Uber ride in New York City. Numerous bad yellow cab experiences. Also, I live in Queens, and Uber never refuses to take me home. Another one, why again doesn't New York City have an app to hail cars like Uber has privately? Someone else... where'd this go? Why protect the taxi drivers from the gig economy but not people in other businesses? That's interesting. Maybe they'll go further in the next one. So there you go, as some of you respond to the proposed one-year moratorium on addition of new Uber cars. You can keep tweeting at Brian Lehrer.